of Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, News Talk and Entertainment Show that I was talking about. And we're just kind of spitting that out. It's de rigueur. We are the Truth Is Our Bitch Show. And that is going to be the name of our one-man show when that hits the stage in just a matter of...
A matter of what? Days, weeks, months, years?
Well, we'll just have to let the fans know, because we're working very hard on bringing to them something that will be an entertaining and memorable evening. And you can't rush these things. Nonetheless, because there's been an awful lot that we've been contending with. And I'm telling you, one of the things that we were contending with and that we have finally put to rest is the live streaming for Apple products, the live streaming for your iPhone, for your iPad, for mobile, for droids. We've got it. It looks great. It's available to you right now with a backstage pass. So no matter where you are, what you're doing, you can watch us live and mobile or on demand at philhenryshow.com, no matter what the device. And that was kind of a tricky technical thing, because there's so many different Androids that are out, and there's all kinds of different formats, and there's a million different ways of doing things. I'm telling you, I've learned more about the delivery of live media over these last 6 months than I ever thought I would ever need to know. And it's a fascinating world. But like I said, when it's working, and the picture that we get from Akamai that we deliver to your mobile device, whether live or on demand, is beautiful. You saw it, Margaret, right?
I've got to admit, it is absolutely stellar. It shows it shows you very clearly.
Yeah, but I mean, that's good or bad.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll take it any way you want to give it, okay? It doesn't make any difference to me.
Take it any way you give it.
Yeah,
just get your mind out of the gutter, okay?
Well, Phil, when you say I'll take it any way you want to give it, and you lick your lips...
I didn't lick my lips. Get out of here. You guys, you still got danger on the brain with that whole, the IRA got done in by the crying game. Anyway, welcome to the program. Now, how's this for some, and by the way, Don Berman will be up in just a few minutes with the final race of the evening from Dickman Downs. Now, how's this for some luck? A woman wins $40 million, not $40,000 as she first suspected, in the Canadian lottery. As you can imagine, she got the shock of a lifetime. On April the 10th, the Epoch Times, now this is a Canadian newspaper, it's a Canadian story, reported that Maria Carrero was thrilled when she learned she hit the lottery. She was so excited to have won a $40,000 prize, and when she got home, she told her daughter and the family, and everybody was excited. 40 G's is 40 G's, that's pretty good. You know,
well, it might excite people of a lower income.
Oh, is this where we're going to have to hear now about?
Have to hear what?
Well, you got to start talking about how much money you got.
No, I'm not talking about. I am simp.
Margaret, you know, just let it go, man. I mean, you know,
man. Oh, okay, man.
I mean, we're not trying to go beatnik on you.
Yes, you are going beatnik on me. Yes, you are.
Look at Margaret. First of all, beatnik hasn't been. That's.
What are you telling me? I happen to know. I knew beatniks.
That's great. I'm not going beatnik on you just because I said man. All I'm trying to say is, can we just let this story tell itself? I don't want to hear about how people are all that excited. In other words, you and Frank are of a higher income level.
Did I say that?
Well, yeah, you did, because you're saying, oh, well, this is probably exciting to people of that income level.
I didn't say that at all, Phil. All I'm trying to say is, if someone said to me, Margaret, you won $40,000, I would say, well, that's nice. Is there someone else that might need them? I don't, it doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't excite you. You think you're all better than everybody.
I didn't say I was better than anybody, except for you, bud. I know I'm better than you. I know that genetically, I know that biochemically...
All right, okay.
I'm better.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Now, come on, will you? So the lady won 40 G's.
Let me ask you something, Phil, and be honest. If you won $40,000, would you be excited?
Yes, I would.
You're a liar.
You know what, Margaret? Just because I'm not lying, yes, I'd be excited. 40K? Yeah, you better believe I'd be excited.
Wouldn't you give it to a charity? That's what you're supposed to do when you have some level of celebrity.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, she's talking about Mr. Henry like a celebrity. They always give the money to charity.
You don't ever win a large amount of money if you have a level of celebrity. You understand?
Well, I may understand, and I think I do, but I got news for you. I got a news flash for everybody. If I win 40 G's, I keep it. Okay?
Good God.
God, Mr. Henry, because you think you're poor.
I don't care what they think. Is that why you're telling me that celebrities don't keep money they win?
Haven't you ever... Where have you been?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm like, you watch on Jeopardy and everything, they'll say, okay, like Marilyn Monroe, or I don't know who, like Jennifer Aniston, she won $1 million, she's going to give it to a school.
Yeah, you're never going to say Jennifer Aniston going to win it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you may be right, you know? I mean, it probably looks unseemly for somebody with that much, you know, celebrity, like a Jennifer Aniston. Forget about Phil Hendry. To give her money, people would probably think it's overkill. Like, she doesn't need the bread. So they probably tell them, hey, you agree to give it to a charity, you know?
Well, I think that it goes without... I don't think they even have to ask. I think what they'll say is, and you've won $1 million, but as I'm sure you understand, Ms. Aniston, you won't smell it, you won't sniff it, you won't see hide nor hair of it. It's going to a charity of our choice.
No, they don't say that. It's a charity of her choice.
Yeah, well, they say it's her choice, but their choice.
How do you know? What are you talking about, man? How do you know?
He's listening to me, Phil. I've got the inside story on this.
No, you don't. First of all, I happen to know how those shows work. They say, pick out a charity, yeah.
That's what they tell you.
Oh, please. Anyway, can I get on with this story?
Fine, but you, Vince Gray, did it.
Never mind, bud. He doesn't want to be wrong.
That's it. I don't want to be wrong. You're right. Thank you very much. I'm so happy that you... pointed that out. Now, a woman wins $40 million. You just threw a spitwad at me.
No, I didn't. It flew out of my mouth. I was coughing, and it's actually a piece of macaroni.
Oh, God.
Oh, grow up.
God, man, spit it up?
I didn't spit up anything. I was talking, and then I coughed, and a piece of macaroni that was probably wedged in my back molar came flying out. Where did it hit you?
In my hand.
So, I don't have cooties.
Oh, God.
Quit making a federal case out of it.
Ooh!
Let me see that. Yeah, it's cheese.
God, would you get out of here, please? Get out of here!
Oh, don't be a baby.
Daddy's spitting up cheese on him and everything.
So?
A woman wins $40 million, not $40,000, as she first suspected in the Canadian lottery. As you can imagine, she got the shock of a lifetime. Twice. On April the 10th, the Epoch Times reported Maria Carrero was thrilled when she learned she hit the lottery. She was so excited to have won a $40,000 prize, and when she got home, she told her daughter and the family. They were excited. They danced. They sang. They busted out a bottle of a little bit of red eye, and they had themselves a party. Fantastic. 40 grand, you know, 40 grand, that's a pretty damn good. That's a whole family vacation, maybe two. I mean, a really first-class family vacation.
Well.
I mean, well, I'm assuming it's an Italian family, so it's going to be a big family. And 40 G's, that's going to buy you a huge, fantastic, first-class vacation.
Well, I'd pay electrical bill or something.
An electrical bill for $40,000, man. Anyway.
Well, something.
Anyway, when a woman wins $40 million, not $40,000, it makes a huge difference in life. This is the writer, by the way. Who's the writer? Because they use a lot of terms here. Effrey Orfandis. I don't know what. Anyway, learning that you've hit the lottery can make things pretty fuzzy, and the excitement alone could have been the reason that Carrero misread the ticket. Obviously, she must have been over the moon to learn that she hit the lottery. It's so rare. But when she learned the actual amount, she couldn't even believe it. She said she needed to drink a glass of water to calm down. Oh, my goodness. A glass of water? It hasn't sunk in. My dad worked so hard, and we've been struggling so much. $40 million is so much money. You know what? I don't want it. I'm going to wipe my rear end with it, said Ms. Carrero. She didn't say that.
Let me see that.
No, she didn't say it. She said, we've been struggling. $40 million is so much money, said Carrero's daughter, Manuela. The woman who won the $40 million, not the $40,000, plans to buy herself a new home and houses for her daughters as well. Well, you can do that, man. $40 million bucks.
Well, you're going to go through that $40 million pretty fast. She better watch it.
No. I mean, if you're to buy a house in Beverly Hills, maybe. She can buy houses for her daughters, for herself, for her, she can buy a new doghouse for her dog.
You can buy a $40 million, but you get $1 million doghouse.
That's a waste of money, man.
The $1 million doghouse. Anyway, she'll have plenty of money left over. So there it is. Congratulations, ma'am. Why couldn't it have been me? Because my karma sucks.
Yay.
Thank you. World famous Phil Henry Show coming up next. It's Don Berman from Dickman Down's final race of the evening.
Yee. Truth is our bitch. Yee. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to go out to Dickman Downs. Now we got Don Berman out there and getting ready to call the final race here with Joe Dickhead. So, Don, take it away.
Thank you very much, Phil, and this is the final race of the evening. This will be the Meat Handicap by Chosman's Meat Locker. Chosman's Meat Locker. With a location nearest you. Joe Dickhead is here with us. Before we give the horses and the order that they will be in the gate here, Joe, the last race, Go Daddy Go, or Go Mervyn Go, I think, that was a horse I believed in. There's no question I believed in that horse. And there's no question that I believed in the initial. When a jockey doesn't know how to ride a horse, what do you think?
I think, to be perfectly honest with you, and I'm trying to be kind, Don, I don't think it's for us to second-guess whether the jockey knows how to ride the horse. Now, you can second-guess whether or not the jockey had the right kind of ride, whether he consulted with the trainer and they put together a good ride for that animal.
I'm talking about, yes, I understand, but when the jockey gets on the horse and suddenly doesn't know what he's on top of, that's what I think the last two races represent for me. But now, tell me, let's not talk about it, because I'm... telling you right now, and I owe this to a little boy that I talked to today in the hospital over here at Valley Hospital, and you were with me, Joe, a little boy that has a degenerative disease. It is akin to Lou Gehrig's disease. This child is almost completely paralyzed, but the little boy said to me, Mr. Berman, sir, would you please put a bet for me on a winner? And I'm talking to that little boy right now. Jerry is his name, or they call him Geraldo. And Geraldo, I am going to do this for you, young man. I'm putting my money down on a no-can-lose proposition, a horse called No Time Like the Present.
Oh, come on.
Excuse me. No Time Like the Present with Bob Pitt on board. The horse is going off at 45 to 1, but I'll tell you, I saw its morning work. It is blazing, blazing, blazingly fast. This is a mile and a half on the dirt course, and what was the old command?
Well, you're looking at a 45 to 1 shot. It's a 45 to 1 shot. There's no way. There's no way in hand. You promised a little crippled boy that?
That little boy is not... I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think you should just assume that I'm going to be wrong. I promised a child that is dying from Lou Gehrig's disease. Your comment.
Well, I'll tell you this, Don. I think that I know you have the very best of intentions, and I know that you want the little boy to get well, but I think for you to bet a nag like that, I fear what will happen to that child if you lose, because the child could go into full paralysis.
That's not going to happen. Thank you very much for having faith in me, Joe Dickhead. I'm going to prove to you what belief can do. I believe in my heart, 45 to 1.
Why did you go for that money?
I'm not going for the money. I saw the morning work, and the animal has blazing speed. I just got done telling you. No time like the present. You watch. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as the horses come up to the gate, I'm Don Berman, along with Joe Dickhead here for the final race. This is the Manning Meat Locker Handicap here, race number 8. From the Dickman Downs here this evening. In the number one slot is Corina Corina, ridden by Nathan White. Corina Corina wearing the checkered blue and red. In the number two slot, it's the Aberdeen Express, ridden by Horace Rimley. Horace Rimley there, and he is in the pink and tan silks. Toulouse Tichot, Gaylord Thomas on board. Toulouse Tichot, number three horse. Number four horse is Guy Fox, who is a stablemate of Toulouse Tichot. Billy Meister is on board Guy Fox, and both of these animals come out of Fairingweather Farms in North Carolina. Liberal Arts is the number five horse. That's Lad Holter on board. Gang Reprisal with Mervyn Fontaine. Mervyn Fontaine riding Gang Reprisal there in the another seven slot. No Time Like the Present there. In the number eight slot, No Time Like the Present. And finally, Sugary Boy, ridden by Jill Benton. And the animals are now being lined up. I say animals. What I mean there is the horses are being lined up and put into the gate. I call them animals because I don't really relate to them as anything other than just things, as you know, Joe. And I think that's the reason why you got no... Give me the microphone, thank you. And there they go. And coming out of the gate there, it is Liberal Arts taking for the lead. Liberal Arts the lead with Guy Fawkes coming up in second place. Number three is Toulouse Deschaux. In fourth place is Aberdeen Express. Fifth place, Sugary Boy. In sixth place is Carina Carina. And in seventh place, No Time Like the Present. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. There's a kid with Lou Gehrig's disease coming around the first turn. Coming around the first turn, Liberal Arts with Guy Fawkes now making a play for first. Guy Fawkes going to the inside of Liberal Arts. It's Toulouse Deschaux now in third with Dang Reprisal running in fourth place by a head. By a full length back now is Aberdeen Express and another length back, Carina Carina. Coming back two lengths behind is Sugary Boy, and now three lengths behind Sugary Boy, a full seven lengths behind the leader, No Time Like the Present. There's a little crippled boy in a hospital.
Come on, call the race, call the race.
I'm calling the race. Coming around the back stretch now, it's Liberal Arts opening up the lead now. Liberal Arts with a two-horse length lead at Guy Fawkes in second. Moving up on the outside of number third now comes Gang Reprisal. Gang Reprisal followed by Toulouse Deschaux, Aberdeen Express, Carina Carina, Sugary Boy, and in seventh, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eighth is No Time Like the Present. Eight lengths behind the seven horse, which is Sugary Boy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hold on. Come on, will you? Come on, No Time Like the Present, will you? Come on, No Time Like the Present. Going now to the final turn, it is Liberal Arts. Liberal Arts holding up a four-length lead now over Guy Fawkes. Guy Fawkes in second. Coming up to the third, and the outside is Toulouse Deschaux. Toulouse Deschaux in fourth place is Aberdeen Express. In fifth place is Carina Carina. Oh, man. Gang Reprisals in sixth. Sugary Boy seventh. And wiping up the rear, No Time Like the Present. This is so wrong. So wrong. Why don't you ride a better race? And who's on top of that bag? Come on, you got to call the race. Call the race. And in first place, coming down the home stretch, it's Liberal Arts. Liberal Arts opening up a five-length lead. Guy Fawkes in second. Now two lengths behind is Toulouse Deschaux. Three lengths behind him is Aberdeen Express. I just found that the jockey is Billy Sizer on No Time Like the Present. And the winner is Guy Fawkes by six lengths. No Time Like the Present is just now rounding the clubhouse turn. God! No Time Like the Present. That was a very good, I think Don Berman should be commended. And No Time Like the Present, when it crosses the finish line, which should be in another 5 seconds, is someone should go down there with a shotgun and blow its head off. Someone should go down.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Dickhead, and that concludes this evening's racing.
Don't take the microphone from me. Someone should go down and blow that animal's head clean off and then take the meat and parade it past poor people but tell them, no, it's not even good enough for you to eat and throw it into a waste paper basket or wherever you throw it.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done. Hold on. And Billy Sizer, you know something, Sizer? You're a lousy jockey. You really are just a lousy. I don't know who ever told you you could be a jockey. Why don't you just go into the circus like you originally intended? Forget it.
This is Joe Dickhead, Phil Hendry, reporting here from Dickman Downs. That's the final race. The winner, Liberal Arts, paid.
Don't tell me what it paid. That will conclude the race day. Someone should go down to the barn where No Time Like the Present is and kill it. Kill it. Kill it.
Liberal Arts paid $7.20. And the place position was Guy Fawkes paying $4.20. And the show was Toulouse Deschaux paying $3.40. This is Joe Dickhead here from Dickman Downs.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. And
well, that Berman is out of control, isn't he?
Well, I think he is. I don't think that guy, I don't think he knows how to bet horses. What is he, why is he even betting? I mean, the guy is there to call the action. He's there to call the races, you know?
Yeah, but it's no fun unless you can bet it.
Well, if he's going to bet these races, he ought to keep it to himself. That's the mark of a professional. Don't tell, you know, they can talk about the horses that they like, but you don't come right out and say, and I got this much money on it, and I bet a bunch of money for some little kid in a hospital. Nice going, Don. So there's a little boy with Lou Gehrig's disease, and you just, oh, man. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
That is despicable. I hope you get Lou Gehrig's disease, Ms. Fly.
That's pretty cold. That's cold-hearted. That's a cold shot.
I don't care if it is a cold shot.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Jay Santos is head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, but we're going to bring Jay on for a different reason. We're going to bring him on for a little bit of financial talk. Jay, you're not necessarily a financial guy, but in your role as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, you were there. You were there when a lot of the banks were closing back in 08. You were there when a little bit of panic was taking place. And we've interviewed you multiple times since then. You were at that one of the banks closing. Which one was it? Liberty Mutual?
Phil, exactly. I think it was Liberty Mutual Branch. We didn't close. No, what happened was there was a run on the bank that was unnecessary. And what that means is, the bank was totally solvent. They had no problem making payments, whether they be interest payments or making the withdrawals that people want to make or what have you. But there was a run on the bank, and at Citizens Auxiliary Police, Major Elvis Newton became concerned. And I do have to say, Phil, he became a little bit more concerned. He became downright irritated with how P-brain, that was the word he used, Major Newton, use word P-brain,
P-brain, what do you mean?
Well, the people, the run on the bank, was P-brain maneuver, and so the reason why I'm bringing that up is Major Newton, who names all of our operations, we go to his home and in the command center, which is also, we're not trying to be something we're not. The command center is also his kitchen, and that's where he sits in. Really does a lot of his formulating and coming up with different ideas and everything like that. And there's a big whiteboard there in his kitchen, and call this one Operation P-Brain. So
I'm sorry, what was it?
What did you say, Jay? You're slurring your words.
I said it's called. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to slur my words. It was called Operation P-Brain.
Okay, so what was Operation P-Brain?
Well, that's when the Citizens Auxiliary Police went down to Liberty Mutual. And we saw that there was a run on the bank. There was panic. There were people standing around, milling around. When you're milling around and everything, Mr. Henry?
Milling around?
That's correct, yes, sir. And they were standing around, and we could see that this was a bad situation about to get badder, or not badder, but worser.
A bad situation about to get worse.
That's exactly correct, sir. My apologies, sir.
I thought the worser's okay, though. I made a note in case you got to edit it.
No, worser is not okay. It's a bad situation that got worse, not badder or worser.
All right, ma'am, I understand that.
No, I'm saying this to Bud Dickman, who's making notes for the post-production.
Yeah, Bud, you don't have to edit anything out.
Well, I appreciate it if you do, because if it makes me sound less... I realize that I'm not the most eloquent man, but if you can cut out worser and make me not sound so much like... A dumbass, if that's the word.
Yes, that's the word.
Okay, well, gee.
All right, I think I can cover that. I will cover the post-production. I got that covered. That's me and Bud. We'll talk about that.
All right, Phil, you don't have to lord it over me.
Unfortunately, yes, I do. That's my domain, nobody else's. All right, Jay, where are you going?
I've got to go to the toilet.
Okay.
I wasn't talking to you, Jay.
Well, you said you need to go to the toilet. I just thought I acknowledged that. I thought you were.
No, she's talking to me because she's upset with me.
Is she in the toilet?
No, she's still collecting her...
Sorry, but I have to get my sweater, and I want to get my cigarettes, too. I'm going to go have a cigarette.
When you go to the toilet, ma'am, are you going to still be on the air?
That's really none of your business, is it?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
You just say that into the microphone?
It's none of your business.
All right, but if there's any, well, okay, if you make any noise in there.
That's none of his concern if I make noise.
Okay, are you ready to go to the bathroom?
Well, why are you interested?
Because you're standing there and you're getting your stuff.
Yes, I'm collecting my book. Is this the book I'm reading?
Let me see. Yeah, Valley of the Dolls?
Valley of the Dolls, yeah.
Valley of the Dolls. You're going to sit in the toilet.
And read, yes.
All right, ma'am.
Again, I don't need your permission, Jay.
Yes, ma'am.
Do-do-do.
Margaret, would you quit dragging it out and get your stuff and get out of here?
Well, just for that, I'm not leaving then. There.
Okay, you're not leaving. Anyway, Jay, So, Major Elvis Newton called it Operation Pea Brain. You guys go down to Liberty Mutual, and what are you doing down there?
Well, what we were basically doing, Phil, is we were making sure that nobody panicked, that nobody, excuse me, it's only because I'm so nervous that I almost vomited. I'm sorry.
God almighty, do I have to sit and listen to this?
No, you were on your way to the bathroom.
Oh, that's right, and then you pissed me off and I decided to sit down.
Go ahead, Jay.
So I decided that I would fan out. I wanted all of our men to fan out. And at that time, I told them to fan out and to get individuals to spread. Because I wanted to make sure that the people was down there because they had money in the bank, or was they down there because they heard news on the news that the bank was closing. I'm very nervous. I almost up, Chuck. I'm sorry about that, Mr. Ray. I didn't mean to do that.
That's all right. Do you need to take a break?
I'm okay. But I almost up, Chuck. So we went down there, and what I wanted to ascertain was...
What, Bud? Hold on, Jay.
Yeah?
What, Bud?
Do I edit out ass? Do I edit out ass?
Do you edit out what?
Ass. He said ass.
He said ascertain, man.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. So we went down there and we told them to spread. That's after we fanned out. That's all I wanted.
Okay.
Why are you having...
Excuse me? All right, Jay. So when you were down there, I know you interviewed a couple of people asking them, why are you here? And you got a feel for what the concerns were monetarily of a lot of people. Isn't that true?
That is absolutely true. That's right.
Okay. What were most of the concerns?
Well, the concerns was that certainly the interest rates, first of all, we want to know if the bank was solvent. Was the bank ready to deliver on the money that the people had on deposit? That's number one. Number two, were they going to be able to get a good interest rate on a certificate of deposit and everything like that? And number three, there were a lot of people who were concerned that they want to make sure they can meet their bills. One of the bills people wanted to meet was a credit card bill. And a lot of these credit cards are, the credit card companies make their money when these people carry over big balances. They make their money on interest rates.
Exactly.
But there are guys, for instance, Mr. Henry, you say that you're the guy, you pay down your balance every month?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That really makes a credit card company upset. I'm not judging you myself, but they have a word for guys like you, and it's called, you know, I don't know. It's not a good word.
Well, I got a friend of mine that's in the credit business, okay?
Right. What does he think about guys who pay off their balance every month?
Look, the credit card companies make their money on interest rates. You're absolutely right. So a guy like me that pays the balance every month, they're not making any money on me. They can jack up the rates all they want. They can offer me another card. I mean, they do it all the time, but I'm still going to zero that balance out every single month. I don't want to carry over a big balance.
Right, but you know what they call you?
What?
They call you a butt. You know, it's bad.
Well, what do they call them?
What do they call me?
They call you like a butthead or something like that. But I mean...
What is that? So what? That sounds rather juvenile.
Yeah, what do they call him, butthead?
What I'm just saying is they don't have very high regard for a guy like you. And so I said to the people that had made the run on the bank, I said, are you people are here to make sure you have enough money to pay down a credit card debt? And they're all like, yeah, among other things. I go, well, they're, you know, they don't, you, that's going to make you a big ass, you know, a big ass hat. So.
Well, that's great. I, you know.
Well, why did you have this man on to talk about financial? He doesn't know anything about it.
He knew about the run on the bank. That's what I wanted to ask you about, Jay. So you're telling these people that's going to make you an ass hat. That's not your concern, is it?
Well, they wanted me to, Major Newton wanted me to find out why people was down there taking money out of bank. Okay, and when Major Newton wants to know something, I got to go down and find out about it. Otherwise, he's going to be sitting up there, chain-smoking pile miles till the cows come home, and I don't have no information for him. He's going to be writing stuff on a whiteboard. His wife's making, you know, lunch. And he always says to me, I want you to get the information back here by lunch because I'm going to have the, you know, my usual, excuse me, I'm going to have my usual cut-up bologna sandwich and some noodle soup, some kind of a noodle soup. And then I'm going to go take my nap, and I want to have the information for it, take my nap. They said I don't want to get up from my nap at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you guys are standing around whittling you-know-what, and you don't have the information.
What information does Major Elvis Newton, what does he have to have? I don't understand.
I'm telling you, ma'am, if you'll listen to me.
No, you're not saying anything. Major Newton wanted you to go down and get what information?
He wanted to know if there's any asshats. You know, that word, that was...
Is that his word, asshat?
Yeah, it was one of the words he uses. It's a tech, we called it Operation P-Brain, but the P-Brains are the ones that was... Oh, forget it. I don't know. Why don't you talk to him?
Well, that's really great. I'm glad I brought you on, man.
Well, Phil, you're asking me two different questions. What do you want to know? You want to know what a P-Brain is, what an asshat?
And this is what you guys do at the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Absolutely disgraceful.
What's disgraceful about it? I mean...
But first of all, you're saying that there is Operation P-Brain, so you want people not to panic and make a run on the bank. Then you are looking for what you call asshats, who are people that are paying down their credit card bill so they don't carry over a large interest rate, and you give that a derogatory term.
That's exactly correct, because Major Newton worked in a credit, you know, I might as well say it, Major Newton worked in a credit business for a while before he was hospitalized. Did you know Major Newton was hospitalized after he took a brick off of his head when a neighborhood kid dropped a brick on him? He was walking down a line of trees in his backyard. I don't know if you know this story, Mr. Henry.
No, I don't.
Well, I mean, he was walking down a line of trees in his backyard, and he was going along a wall line. He was measuring because he's going to put in a hot house. We also want to put in a place where his wife could put up preserves and this kind of deal. And anyway, there was a kid from the property behind him, and he saw Major Newton. The kid was holding the brick, and as soon as Major Newton walked by, he just dropped the brick. The brick, Major Newton, remember, he heard the kid go, bombs away, and then the brick just busted right in half on Major Newton's head. Well, he kept on walking, and he went in the house, had noodle soup and had a sandwich, and went to sleep and woke up, and that's when he had all these visions by the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yeah, so he had a brain injury, which generally means that the personality changes not for the better.
That's not fair, Mr. Henry.
Well, yeah, okay, maybe it isn't fair. He had a brain. Did he ever have a doctor look at his head?
What does that mean?
Yeah, that sounded very suggestive.
What are you talking about?
Did he look at what head?
The head on his shoulders, man. Did he ever have a doctor look? Did he get an MRI?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'll have to ask him to find out if he ever had a CAT scan on his head. But I don't know if they can do a CAT scan on your head on account of radiation.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks a lot, Jay. It's been always a pleasure talking to you, man, and you really fill me in with a lot of really great stuff.
What are you getting all upset about? You're the guy who wants to have him on.
I know that, bud. I understand that, okay? That doesn't mean that I don't get to criticize the guy. Major Elvis Newton was walking down a tree line, took a brick off the head. You know, I mean...
Phil, you only have yourself to blame.
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, Jay, if you're still listening, yes, I do pay down my credit card bill every month, and I don't care if that makes me an asshat. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we draw to a close here this evening. I got places to go and people to see tomorrow. I was mentioning during our pre-show that it's one of those, it's the season for going out and meeting people and trying to make a living, you know.
Well, everyone has to make a living.
Yes, everyone has to make a living. I'm no different. Big, busy day. But one of the things of working late is you're then having these meetings with people that are at 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And, and getting into town, because we live here at the El Pacifico, it's about an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes to get into town from where we are. And it can be pretty hairy. I don't know how it is that the traffic gets as crazy as it does, but it does. Now, Sarah Palin recently slammed electric car maker Tesla Motors on her Facebook page, referring to it as one of the losers of the auto industry. Earlier this week, Tesla founder Elon Musk responded, tweeting that he's deeply wounded by Ms. Palin's words and that some of her assertions about the company are incorrect. So what's the background of this online slap fight? Is anyone right here and anybody wrong? Well, in this article from Ask, they say, quote, "We'll start with Alaska's ex-governor. Her post was really about plug-in hybrid vehicle manufacturer Fisker Automotive, not Tesla at all. On April 5th, she noted that Fisker, which has received about $200 million in U.S. government loans, was laying off three-fourths of its workforce. The Anaheim, California-based startup has failed at pretty much every level, especially when it comes to the company's ultra-expensive luxury electric hybrid, the Karma," wrote Palin. She went on to hit what she considers other tax-subsidized losers, including the Chevy Volt and the Tesla. Palin charged that Tesla's fancy Model S turns into a brick when the battery completely discharges, requiring a $40,000 repair. I got to tell you something, and I don't mean to interrupt. But when Bobby interviewed Kevin Pollak, the great actor-comedian, he pulled in an electric car because we were downstairs waiting for him.
Now, this is Kevin Pollak.
Yes. And it was a gorgeous car. And he said, "What do you think?" I said, "It's beautiful." I said, "I could tell it's electric because I couldn't hear it." And he was nuts about this. And I think it was a Tesla. But he had to wait to take delivery because it's one of those things where, you have to order one.
But I do. They like make it as soon as you order it?
I don't know. But it was gorgeous. It was black and, believe it, black interior. Looked like a luxury Mercedes or a BMW, something along those lines, similar design. Electric. I didn't ask him about the range on the batteries. I didn't ask about anything, but he was very enthusiastic about it. He loved it. Now, I don't know how much this thing cost, but it was electric. It was a luxury car. And here's one of the things that that I was talking to people about as far back as like 6-7 years ago when people started driving hybrids in earnest. You know, how come they got to look like a dorkmobile? You know, why do these hybrids have to look like something some little old lady is driving? If you want to sell these things, I may be the craziest guy in the world and the dumbest guy when it comes to cars, but one of the things that I believe is very important to people and they have paid no attention to, I don't give a damn, PT Cruisers aside and all that other crap, is design, is what does the car look like? Why have they abandoned some of the classic designs of the past? Why did Cadillac, for instance, abandon its fin design? I mean, what, you know, you telling me that's going to add, miles per gallon?
They don't want to have no big car or anything.
It doesn't have to be a big car. It can still be the smaller car with the classic Cadillac design. I mean, take a look at a T-Bird, man. What is the T-Bird design? It's like a miniature Cadillac. One of the classic Cadillacs, you know? Same thing with Lincoln Continental. Same thing with a lot of these cars. I don't know why they abandoned the classic look because people love that. The PT Cruiser, I think, I didn't like that car.
Why?
Well, like as I could tell, the PT Cruiser was an attempt to recreate the look of the old, I don't know whether there was a Ford truck or the old trucks of the late 40s, only it was a miniature version. I don't know, man. Anyway, make a long story short, here we are now with the Chevy Volt. Sarah Palin says the Tesla sucks. She charged that Tesla's fancy Model S turns into a brick when the battery completely discharges, requiring a $40,000 repair. Look, Fisher is low-hanging fruit in terms of criticizing government intervention in the economy. Vice President Joe Biden has attended some company announcements, and now the firm is pretty much belly up, fully discharged. If there's a brick, Fisker may be it. And yes, Volt costs have been subsidized by GM to get sales rolling, but last we looked, Chevy was still in business and Volts were still going out the door. And is California-based Fisker one of President Obama's losers? Elon Musk does not think so. This is the man with Tesla. Sarah Palin calls Tesla a loser. I am deeply wounded. By the way, Model S warranty does cover bricking, he tweeted. Okay, here's where we really have something to say. Elon Musk is a visionary, the guy behind PayPal, the private SpaceX launch firm, and Tesla. Maybe he's an Edison for our time, maybe not, but he needs to learn that sometimes the better part of PR valor is keeping your yap shut and moving on. Well, we'll keep an eye on Tesla, keep an eye on Volt, keep an eye on Fisker.
Keep an eye on Brick.
Keep an eye on Brick. What do you mean, keep an eye on Brick? Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and, of course, me, Phil Hendry. And for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, we suggest the Phil Hendry Show website, the Phil Hendry Show website at philhendryshow.com, because, brother, that's where it all am at, man. Get a backstage pass. Start investing in something that's worth it, man. Get a monthly backstage pass to the greatest audio comedy content there is, philhendryshow.com. Till tonight at 10 o'clock, let that be a lesson to you. 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern.
Bye.
Phil Hendry.